dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Unveiling of our Pensacola sign in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Woo! 5, 4.
What happened is that when they flipped on the sign, Max Sam from Hughes Construction, that's the company, the actual construction company that constructed the sign and the framework and everything else. This is the new Pelican welcome sign at the north end of Three Mile Bridge. Every time I say something like that, you know, on the north end of the bridge, somebody's like, well, you know, sir, it's Highway 98 and even numbers on the highways that run east and west, sir. So it is technically the western end of the bridge. Okay, Urkel. PJ, tell me I'm wrong, though. Tell me I'm wrong. You've been around a long time. You've worked at Cat Country a bunch, but tell me I'm wrong that if you describe it the way, you know, most people think about it, which is north and south, somebody will text you, well, technically you're going eastbound on Highway 98 into Gulf Breeze. And you should check your direction, sir. It's not a southbound road. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
It's always so fascinating to me, the sort of adorable, annoying, hilarious ways in which people try to make themselves feel good, smart, and important. Oh, and I'm not immune to it. I do it too, okay? Grammar checks, for instance. But anyway, it cracks me up. So at the north end of the bridge, I said it, as you turn west, going toward South Market, right there where there used to be the Five Flags. Okay, used to be the Five Flag poles, used to have the Confederate flag, you know, a long time ago. Remember back in the day when we called ourselves the City of Five Flags? Remember? Way back then. And they tore that down as part of the construction to put in the new roundabout and the new bridge. And then it was always a question, what would come back? And, you know, well, now we have a brand new thing. And it's really great. Now, the reason, back to my original point, the reason there was a kind of a, ooh, and then there was a, ah, I think those are the technical terms for the two waves of celebration, is because when they first turned the sign on, the only part that lit up were the vertical lines of color on the pole to which the Pelican is attached, or to which he's on which he's hanging, if you prefer. And since only those lit up, there were a lot of us that were like, it's cool, but I thought it was all going to light up. You know, I don't know, kind of like if you lit up the sailfish sign and the only thing that lit up was the sparkly bit, or the only thing that lit up would be the arrow. You know, like, it's cool, but I thought... And then a few moments later, it all lit up, and we're like, oh, thank God. You know, that's what we were expecting. So, anyway, it was very, very cool, of course. It was a real small ceremony. There was only, gosh, I don't know, 30 people there. On purpose. I know I had some people ask me, why weren't there more people there? Well, it's in a median between two state roads that are relatively fast, and so having a giant group of people in between two highly traveled roads that are, you know, fairly fast is maybe not the ideal safety scenario, especially when where would you park? I mean, you can park at the South Market or whatever, but that's it. You know, it's like, so they just, you know, close friends of the artist, the construction company, and a few media, and, you know, that was kind of it. But really, very, very cool development. DC Reeves.
Welcome to Trespassing in the Median. Thank you for everybody for being here, doing that on a state road. It is allowed for one night. But really, this has been many, many months and years coming, and the start of this was obviously the construction of the Three Mile Bridge and what we had here before and replacing what we had here before. And right as I came in as mayor, there had been a plan with FDOT to put something in replace that was good, but I don't know that it spoke to our community in the way that we would have wanted to.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he's right. And there had been, you know, kind of the, as I understand it, 4.5 years have been kind of working on this. And, or they've been kind of working on this. But, you know, there was a proposal for something that was incredibly bland, sort of very F-dotty, if you want to think of it that way. And then, you know, some other folks got involved, you know, Dalrymple Salus, a good friend, Scott Salus, and the architectural firm. And then eventually the mayor had the contest, you know, to come up with the design, something that I think he and really everybody else was a little bit nervous about, because what would you get from a public naming slash designing contest?
This is, I believe, will be past, current, and future, the only public art contest where I feel like everybody agreed that this was by far the most amazing design and something that was compelling for our community, and certainly will now live as one of those legendary symbols of our city for generations to come.
Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, the number of people that like muffler revved when they were coming past, what they discovered was a group of people going west into town. I mean, there were at least three or four that I definitely noticed. I thought, boy, y'all, what's small for you? You know, just anyway, I thought it was interesting. And I appreciate that the mayor said that, you know, kudos to FDOT, because FDOT didn't really have to do this, didn't really have to allow it, didn't have to. I think they provided funding for it, you know, if I remember correctly. And so it was a very good collaborative effort.
I do want to thank FDOT. This was an unconventional way to do this. There's lots of easier ways to have gotten this done, not only for the city, but for them. And so this is kind of one of those get-to things. They didn't have to do this. And so I'm very, very appreciative of FDOT working with us to bring something special to our community that was a little bit outside of the norm.
Amen. Because, you know, give credit, give rewards, encourage the thing you want to see more of, and we want to see more of that from FDOT, so well done. Brianna Spence is the artist, and, you know, she says it was basically surreal to watch something that has been on her computer screen all of a sudden come to life in this, oh, I'm estimating, but 40-foot tall statue?
It's kind of surreal seeing it go from my computer screen, where I'm used to seeing most of my work, to something this large come to life, but I'm just really thankful for the city of Pensacola. I know when DC came up with this concept, I'm sure there was a lot of like, this could go one way or another, but it really, I think, represents Pensacola in such a great way. We have such an artistic community, and just being able to work on something for my town that I'm so proud of, and this town is such a special place, I know, to all of us.
It is. It definitely is. And she was thrilled about it. And I actually did an interview with her afterwards. And it's kind of she's adorable. One of the more interesting, to me anyway, interesting notes about this is we now kind of have this, I don't know, sort of loose collage of local signs, art, murals, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, you have the water tower when you're coming into town on 110. Right? It has Pensacola on the one side. You know, it used to be the Wings, but now, and on the south side, when you're kind of leaving town or coming up into the town, you know, you have the Blue Angel stuff. I really appreciate ECUA changing direction and being willing to restore that. I still think that if ECUA could, I would love to see them in every other water tower repainting project that they ever do. I would love to see them go the direction of art instead of just their logo. I always think it's a wasted opportunity when you see water towers that don't have cool stuff on them and instead have the local water utility's name on them, which, frankly, not any single person in the whole universe cares about. including, I mean, maybe the like board members of the utility care, but like seriously, like you see cool signs like in Destin or in Baldwin County or wherever you see it, and there's all kinds of different ways to do this. And so, you know, when you see the downtown water tower, you're like, oh, that's great. And when you see the one at PCC or the one on I-10, you're like, ah, that's there, you know. And so opportunities missed, okay? But, you know, opportunities sometimes taken, and I appreciate that. And then you've got the, obviously, the sailfish sign going out to the beach, which is amazing, and thank God we finally got that, you know, fixed. Escambia County finally got that done properly, and it's beautiful. And then this sign coming the other direction, so I don't know how to say it exactly. It's not a derivative of the other sign in any way at all. And yet it feels like the natural pairing of the other sign, at least to me. because in its own entirely distinctive visual presentation, it's like, oh, that's the perfect complement of the other one. Even though they are completely different in, you know, artistic style, coloring, message, everything else. It's not just those. Like, you have the Fish House sign, okay? You have the Rex sign, right, that is gorgeous. And I realized as I was there last night and talking to Brianna, luckily for me, I've actually been at 3 of the 4 sort of big local sign turn-ons. I don't think I was there for the turn-on of the Sailfish sign, the most recent one. These are really cool things in town, and I hope we get more. One of the other just small notes about this particular sign is that it is the vertical stripes that the Pelican is holding on to. There is a deck down below. It's a little hard to see if you're not paying attention, but that's meant to represent the dock or the deck that the Pelican would be standing on. And then it says, "Welcome to Pensacola, Florida, established 1559. And then here's a little small note. The slogan for the city. We have a low-key new slogan for the city. Where Florida begins. You know, we've had a little bit of a mayoral hokey-pokey on the slogan for the city. Remember with Mayor Ash and Hayward, it was, do you remember, PJ? The upside of Florida. The world's least successful marketing slogan that everybody was very much a, what? And then under Grover Robinson, it was Florida's first and future, which was equally, And also, and now we're spending money to rebrand to an equally weird slogan. I love where Florida begins because it's both historical, right, as the first settlement in Florida, and it is also geographical because going from west to east, we're the first thing you see in Florida, right? So, I mean, I like it. Where Florida begins. I just think it's neat. You're going to say something, PJ. No? Okay.
I was going to say, I hope they keep it.
I do, too. And I hope that whenever D.C. Reeves is no longer in office, the next mayor doesn't think, I need to have my slogan. Because you don't. I think we have one. I think Where Florida Begins is great. You can see it from the 3 Mile Bridge hump. I was curious. I wasn't sure how far away you could see it. It won't catch your attention at that distance, but I actually drove down to Gulf Breeze and turned around and came over the bridge looking backwards, and you know, I was kind of curious to see. And if you're looking for it, you can see the little blue lights in the distance at the hump, and then it just consistently gets bigger and bigger and bigger until if you're driving it for the first time, maybe this morning, and I don't know when the turn-on, turn-off time is. I assume it's not lit up all time, but I should ask because, the Sailfish sign isn't lit up all the time. Anyway, you'll get closer and closer. You're like, what? Oh! At least I hope you have that reaction. 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listen up, fellow Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. Let's do it again and get vaccinated, because we're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com and schedule a vaccine today. Sponsored by Pfizer.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Hi, I'm Meg, inviting you to tune in Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest. They will be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as an offer of 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's not true. That's impossible.
Tina says, don't talk to me like I am deaf and dumb.
We've broken down and broken up so much that I am numb. Talk about, don't shout about the people we've become. There's a little girl who's crying over here. Michael says, don't shout at me.
You know, I always kind of wonder about how do directors get a certain product out of their actors? And in The Empire Strikes Back, was the instruction to Mark Hamill, okay, I want you to picture yourself a five-year-old who's been crying for 20 minutes with all the snot coming out of your nose and the tears running down your face and you're all worked up. Now, line. Because that is kind of the way he delivers it. 524 here on News Radio 92.3. Sorry, 526 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Hey, buddy.
Hello.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm sorry. I was just wrapped up here in some of my work. But I'm assuming you'd like some headlines.
Sure, sure.
Well, I have got what you need, sir. stock futures are still
furiously
down.
Treading water with his words. I love it.
Stock futures are still down today. This is after a big rally yesterday, though, following President Trump's announcement of a 90-day pause on some tariffs. This caused the Dow to have its biggest jump in 5 years. The S&P posted its biggest gain since 2008. GOP lawmakers want to limit the power of federal judges to order nationwide injunctions. The House of Representatives passed a bill Wednesday, mostly along party lines, that would make it so judges can only provide orders that apply to the parties directly involved in a case. And there's a push to expand the Texas Castle Doctrine, apparently. That, of course, allows people to use deadly force to defend their homes and businesses. So we'll see how that works in Texas.
What's the expansion?
Well...
You okay, know, it's okay.
No, hold on. My eyes are not cooperating right now. Where is that?
No worries.
The text is so small, I need to blow it up like everybody else does. The bill connected to immigration would take away a restriction that the attack needs to be happening at night when it's dark out, so it would apply in the daylight hours as well.
So their castle doctrine only applies at night? I've never heard of that.
That is,
wow.
Yeah, according to what this says, that is what the change would be anyhow.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's the Stand Your Ground doctrine is kind of based on the premise of the Castle Doctrine, which is that you have a right to defend your home, your property, your territory. The idea in Stand Your Ground, people get very confused. David, by the way, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're released. but, you know, people often use these terms inaccurately. For example, people will say it's a stand your ground case when what they mean is it's a self-defense case. The basic idea of castle doctrine is that if somebody comes to your home, because it is your home, you do not have to run away. You do not have to retreat. You're in your area. Now, the rules about feeling appropriately threatened and about the appropriate level of force in response to what you feel threatened is all still in play. You know, just because somebody's on your porch doesn't mean you can shoot them. But if somebody's on your porch acting crazy, holding a chainsaw, you can shoot them. I mean, you know, it depends on their level of threat. When you're out in public, historically, the rule was that if you are, you know, somebody comes at you with a chainsaw, again, keeping continuity here, you can shoot them. That was always true. It's self-defense. But if somebody's running at you with a chainsaw like Lancelot and Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and they're like 100 feet away, you can't shoot them yet. In fact, if you have the opportunity to run away, say you're in a car or on a scooter or you're just on your feet, but you're faster than they are, you historically had the duty to run away, to flee, to retreat. What Stand Your Ground did is it made out in public similar to castle doctrine in your home where you didn't have to retreat. You could stand there, and if they come to you, then you can use deadly force if necessary. People kind of talk about these things. Sometimes when they say castle doctrine, what they really mean is self-defense. And when they say stand your ground, what they really mean is self-defense. And I know it's a little confusing to keep it all straight, but, you know, I'm a big fan of using the words properly. 4376, but I had never heard of anybody saying that castle doctrine would only be at night. That's weird to me. Fascinating. Oh, somebody texted and says, I have lived here for a very long time and I have always thought of the bridge as running east and west. Interesting. Okay. All right. And it does, technically. But it, because 98 runs east and west. But the bridge, when I'm going to talk to people about how it works, you know, in your mind on a map when you're, well, of course, nobody looks at maps anymore. Have you learned that, PJ? Nobody looks at maps anymore. They only think GPS tells them to turn left in 500 feet.
My kids.
They don't even know how to read a map. Even my oldest, my 20-year-old, is like, "What? Why would I care about a street? The computer tells me when to turn."
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A Russian-American woman charged with treason in Russia is freed in a prisoner swap.
Xenia Karolina was serving 12 years in a penal colony for donating money to an American charity that supports Ukraine. The Wall Street Journal reports that in return, the U.S. has released Arthur Petrov. He's a German-Russian dual citizen who was arrested in Cyprus in 2023 over an alleged scheme to supply the Russian military with microelectronics.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. President Trump says it was instinct more than anything else that led him to put a 90-day pause on most higher tariffs on imports from dozens of countries that had just taken effect yesterday.
I thought that people were jumping a little bit out of line. They were getting yippy, you know? They were getting a little bit yippy, a little bit afraid.
There's still a baseline 10% tariff on imports imposed by the president last week, and now even higher tariffs on Chinese imports. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. 53 degrees, clear skies right now. Pensacola police say they are pursuing charges after a video posted to social media showed a teenager punching a homeless man.
So we have obviously talked to the victim after we found out who he was. He declined charges, but each case is different, and we had to look into this one because there are some circumstances involved that are different.
PPD's Mike Wood there, and police say the incident happened last Friday near Graffiti Bridge. The video showed a group of teens. They were arguing with the homeless man. Then one of them punched him, knocked him to the ground, and that teen then threw at least one more punch before walking away. There's no word yet how many people will face charges or what those charges will be, and the suspects have not been identified. Well, preliminary plans for the Hollis T. Williams Park were unveiled this week at the Cobb Center. The design calls for closing off some of the roads that currently go under the interstate, creating a continuous green space.
You know, I've always talked about it in linear miles. It's 1.3 miles, but they mentioned yesterday, you know, well over 100 acres by the time. So when you think about that, you don't think of that when you're driving over it, you know, how much land that is that's really been left, you know, neglected and really underutilized.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there, he says he's proud of the amount of public input that's gone into the design as well. The city's held 23 meetings regarding the subject. The plans do call for a green space with tennis and basketball courts, a multi-use path, and a full-sized football field. It also would connect to Long Hollow Pond, which would have walking paths, an amphitheater, and an area for food trucks and community markets. Well, there is an effort underway to limit the governor's influence when it comes to picking college presidents. Escambia County Republican State Representative Michelle Salzman sponsoring the bill. It would prevent the governor or his staff from discussing a presidential opening with the school's leaders. The bill also lifts the requirement that the Board of Governors confirm a school's choice for president. A similar bill has been filed in the Senate. A donation was made to a foundation that Florida's First Lady started, and it may be illegal. That's according to a couple of Republican lawmakers yesterday during a committee hearing. They were discussing a $10 million donation from Medicaid contractor Centene to the Hope Florida Foundation. The Times Herald describes Hope Florida as First Lady Casey DeSantis's top political initiative. The $10 million donation was part of the Agency for Healthcare Administration's settlement with the state for overbilling it for the AHCA's services. Well, there's a new sign welcoming visitors as they come across Three Mile Bridge into Pensacola. The city lit up that sign for the first time last night as you cross the bridge. You can see it off to the side. It's located between Gregory and Bayfront Parkway, just to the east of the South Market on Gregory. The sign was designed by a local artist as part of a contest that was run by the city last year. It's 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Another nice and spring-like day is on tap for your Friday eve. After a little bit of a cool start with temperatures in the 50s, warming up nicely into the afternoon with temperatures in the middle 70s. Lots of sunshine on the way with nice and clear skies going into tonight. Temperatures drop into the lower 60s and into the day on Friday to wrap up the week back in the middle 70s with lots of sunshine. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather update.
Thank you very much, Marion. And we've got 52 degrees right now in Pensacola. It is 50 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 49 reported in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has announced a 90-day pause on his new reciprocal tariffs and that the 10% baseline tariff on practically all imports will stay in effect. However, Trump also raised duties on China again to 125%. The news sent stocks through the roof. The Dow closed more than 7.8% higher. The NASDAQ jumped more than 12%. And the S&P 500 gained more than 9.5%. Reuters reports shares of United Steel fell as much as 14% after President Trump renewed his opposition to the sale of the American steel producer to Japan's Nippon Steel. Trump told reporters that despite his love for Japan, he did not want to see the steel company be owned by a Japanese company. Cabot Creamery butter parent company Agrimark is recalling more than 1,700 pounds of extra creamy premium sea salted butter over concerns that it could be contaminated with coliform, a type of fecal bacteria. Futures are sharply lower after yesterday's historic rally on Trump's tariff walkback. That's your money now.
We Care Home Hotline, Woody here.
Woody, I need help with this leaky pipe, and fast.
Probably not what they meant when they said water view, eh? Don't worry, WeCare has emergency appointments.
Oh, good. Thanks, Woody.
With highly trained HVAC plumbing and electrical technicians and thousands of positive reviews since 2014, nobody cares like WeCare. Let the gnome protect your home. Schedule online at WeCareHeatAndAir.com.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Think what Commissioner Berry's alluding to. I mean, we can't be the Bank of Escambia where we fund everybody else's ideas. I mean, it has to be a shared, it has to be a shared equity in how we do it.
So, at the meeting last week, you had the, I don't know, the county commission having committed the whole conversation about the Bay Center. And one of the points that came up was that, you know, if the county is going to be spending the bulk of the money, it's all fine and good if the mayor wants to pay for a comprehensive plan, master plan for the region around the Bay Center. But as Stephen Berry made clear, Isabel, they are the ones who are going to make the ultimate decision. Lumen May saying similar things. Steve Stroberger saying similar things. I thought that was a little bit arrogant. It's sort of true, but also, maybe you don't have to say it out loud quite so much. But I think they're feeling about, you know, the frustrations over OLF-8 and having a similar kind of problem there, being constrained by a master plan that somebody else provided, and they feel like they can't do what they want to do. Well, okay, but this is going to be a collaborative partnership. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. So I mean, what was your takeaway from this meeting? It sounds like they're saying, yes, go ahead and do your little study, but in the end, if it doesn't tell us what we want to hear, then we're going to do what we want to do. I mean, that's a little uncharitable, but how did you feel about it all?
Look, you know, I appreciate them having the conversation, and my goal is to keep our eyes on the prize. And what I mean is, if we're talking about spending upwards of $100 million, let's just use a comparative example. Look at how much time and effort and energy on the city side has been spent on a $15, $16 million demolition of Baptist Hospital. You know, I mean, how much conversation we've had about that. We're talking about $100 million potentially being spent, the vast majority or all downtown. I think the prudent thing to do, and as I mentioned to during the BSEC meeting, you know, I think everybody's heart's in the right place. We've done all these studies over 10 years of time, but they're all isolated. You know, the feasibility of a sports center was done years ago. The feasibility of a conference center might have been done more recently. Who knows, where all of that stands, apples to apples.
Yeah.
So that's all we're trying to do is, as the mayor of this city, and that this amazing investment is potentially happening in the city. If this was anything else, we would be doing this. Let's just take a soccer stadium. If we were to build a soccer stadium somewhere other than this as an isolated project, we would be doing all of these studies around what happens with traffic, what happens with stormwater, whatever the case may be.
Parking, right? Parking's a big part of it, right?
Exactly. So I think it's just a prudent step to make sure that the city is put in a good position. And, let's see what they say. And just one thing on collaboration, we're attempting to set up a joint meeting, I know, between city council and county commission to speak with the firm doing it from day one. And so I want as much inclusion as possible with decision makers to say, hey, if you're worried about, being skeptical of a plan that's been brought to you, then be part of the plan. I mean, and that's what I'm offering, and it's what I offered last week. You know, from day one, ask whatever questions, hear your concerns. I want us all to be part of this, so when we have an end product, we feel like it reflects our concerns, our principles, whatever the case may be. So, I think we're in a good place, and I certainly appreciate their openness to dealing with that, because I think it puts the community in a better place as well.
Yeah, and if you think about this particular problem, I know the county views, for example, the tourism development tax money is, that's money that is theirs to spend. And it's true, but, I have heard some of that money is generated in downtown. So, it's kind of it's a weird thing to sort of be semi chest thumping about who's got the control over the money when obviously downtown is or the city in general is a major contributor to the source of the funds.
Absolutely. But I think look at it this way. Let's take away ownership of where they're generated. Look at it this way. What's the goal of investing bed tax? It's to have the return. I mean, strictly financial. Forget what you want, what arena you want. The best financial decision we can make is to maximize the return on investment of the bond money. That's what we were saying is let's spend $100 million. So then whether it's conferences or sports or hotel nights or whatever the case may be, that we see a huge return on that investment. And so it's kind of like the Michael Jordan saying, about politics, I don't vote blue or red, I vote green. I would think that which should be the eyes on the prize as it pertains to protecting the taxpayer, because the more of that type of revenue we can generate, the less that's coming that needs to come from our local community and that can be coming from the outside. So, I think we can put ourselves in a position to be able to make those decisions. I just don't think we have the documentation in hand yet to make those decisions knowledgeably. I think we've just sort of looking at these things in isolation. And so, I do appreciate their openness to taking a look at it. And, the other thing I mentioned, Andrew, you may have talked about too, is the ability to have private investment involved.
Right.
If a private investor came in and said, we invest in arenas and conference centers and show us what you have, what would we show them right now?
Yeah.
I mean, what document would we say, hey, here's our plan, here's where we're in alignment. We'd kind of show them random studies over the last 10 years. And so I think having this document also helps us go leverage the private market, and maybe that means it's less taxpayer money. We don't have to fully publicly fund all of these things. If we're smart about it, we could get some private capital to come in and give us more for less.
And we need to do something like this study in order to make that possible. I will say just one last thing before we move on, but is, you know, I think clearly Stephen Berry, who tried to put in an athletic facility up in the, you know, Ashton-Brosnahan, and that did not work, and rightly so. And Lumen May, I think, is very interested in, you know, travel sports tourism. Obviously, Pensacola Sports is interested in that. And then you have competing interests as well. What I hear you saying is, you know, look, if the study comes back and it says that's really our best alternative, then God, let's do it. I think what they're thinking in their minds is, what if that comes back as B or C? Then we're going to be forced to do something we don't really want to do. I would think it's the other way around. If the city does the study and it turns out to, you know, be the thing that Stephen Berry and Lumen May wanted to do all along, then validation. And if it turns out to be something else, then maybe we should do something else. You seem to want to react, and I went quickly to traffic there, but I didn't know if you had a follow-up you wanted to say on what I was just talking about.
Yeah, just one quick thing to point out. It may not even be as simple as that. The end result could be, hey, look, all two of these or three of these work perfectly fine. Oh, and by the way, the private market has a track record in the last 24 months of funding 75% of a conference center or a sports facility. That changes my math. I can tell you that if one is $40 million and one is $10 million of taxpayer money,
right?
So there's even more nuance to it in terms of what we learn and, you know, what's marketable, what's feasible to partner with someone else on. So, you know, it's just trying to make our money work. And I think this to the best of its ability. And I think this is the best way to do that and to represent the taxpayer dollars to say, let's make sure we have all the information and that we're making the right decision.
Yeah, I very much agreed. Something else that just happened in the last day, the Hollis T. Williams Stormwater Park plan underneath I-110, this massive, huge, multi-million-dollar project. The sort of final plan asterisk was shown yesterday in a 3D model rendering. Your thoughts? I have not seen it up close and personal. I haven't studied the detail, but it's got some iconic signature elements like an island that's brought to by three circular or curving pathways. I mean, like, there's some really neat elements here, which reminded me a little bit of that, you know, Swamp Rabbit Trail out of Greenville or many other places that have similar kinds of iconic signature features that turn a stormwater project into an amenity for people.
Exactly. And, you know, I've always talked about it in linear miles. It's 1.3 miles, but they mentioned yesterday, you know, well over 100 acres by the time. So when you think about that, you don't think of that when you're driving over it, you know, how much land that is that's really been left, you know, neglected and really underutilized. And so trying to maximize that value. So this was the unveiling, and I think there's some media stuff out and other stuff on our website. And the Hollis T. Williams Project has a website as well, but it's but yeah, this was the vision, the kind of the final visioning study, which still means they're not picking every bathroom location and every swing set. But this is more of the general overview that you could put things here or here. You could have this football field here or here, that type of thing. So it's starting to kind of narrow the spectrum based on community feedback. And by the way, we're up to, I believe, 23 meetings we've had in the community on this.
Yeah.
And when we've tried to say, you know, I'm proud of our record that we've really tried to redefine what community engagement means. And it's not just one meeting at City Hall one time, you know, is that we go where our neighbors are, where our residents are. And that's again what we did right by Hollis T. Williams at Cobb Center last night. So I'm so grateful to our design team, our city staff, and all, you know, community engagement. The city's only half the battle. You got to have the people show up. And so huge turnout last night, which was awesome. And so really, really excited to see this project continue to move forward and that we can walk the walk. There's $40+ million in stormwater funding, grant funding to take on the largest stormwater mitigation project in the history of the city. So very exciting stuff. And I know there's lots of enthusiasm in there. There were people there that lived under the interstate, or where the interstate was before it got their houses were taken away and for the construction. So lots of, you know, cool, interesting stories and really poignant stories shared. And so excited to see this thing move forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we're in the middle of several of these sort of, you know, generational transformative projects, whether it's Baptist or whether it's Bayfront Parkway or whether it's, you know, this project under Hollis T. Williams. And I know all these community engagement things are, you know, it's always kind of a show me what you like, show me what you don't like, you know, put the sticker where the engineer hurt you or didn't, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that's all good. That's all good stuff to have community engagement. And as you say, what did you say, 23 meetings? How many was it?
Yeah, 23.
Wow.
That's a lot of public engagement.
Yeah.
Switching gears just a little bit, speaking of things that are going on, the Garden Street Project right now, nobody likes construction, obviously, but this is FDOT TPO, long time coming. It is what it is. And again, they're not putting in a border wall down the middle of it. It's just going to be better in the end, right?
That's right. So, yeah, the west from kind of A Street to Pace, this is just a continuation of you've seen the Garden Street kind of whether it's being repaved or the medians. You know, Garden Street really needed some love, I remember, for many, many years. And so it's starting to get that. But, I mean, these are projects that have been on the books actually preceding me. That's how long they've kind of taken to get going. But, you know, FDOT notified us. Listen, construction's never going to be easy on folks. We know that. No one wants to be out there any longer than they have to,
right,
whether you're constructing it or whether it's the business. So anyway, they'll get done with that fairly quickly. But the net result is a safer and
more usable,
better conditioned Garden Street.
Just quickly, I had somebody ask me this question, and I don't know how familiar you are, but the Nixle system in Gulf Breeze is where I can basically sign up for text alerts that tell me traffic is bad or other public safety alerts that they want to send me. Does Pensacola have something like that? Would you consider adding something like that for major traffic and or public safety alerts?
Yeah, so we do have that. We do have a system. We have used it sparingly, typically emergency situations, things like that. But I do believe it has a opt-in function that we haven't really optimized. Because obviously what we don't want to do is force a bunch of text messages to people who don't want them.
Right.
But we have started to, once we made sure it was working, we used it some during the cybersecurity incident for our employees back and forth. So things like that. But we've had conversations about looking into that further. So
okay. Well, Nixle, for Gulf Breeze stuff, it's very useful. And especially for like roadways or the Greed Bridge is flooded, like incidents like that, I think people would appreciate that. And of course, if they don't like it, they can opt out. We always like to end with the lightning round a little bit. First question, this is going to either be weird or land well, but have you ever used your hand, front or back, to show people where in Florida, based on your hand, Pensacola is?
Yes. Many times when I'm at U.S. Conference of Mayors meetings, I usually say we're the closest city in Florida to California.
That's a funny way to put it.
I have to do the reverse L with two fingers and then point to my thumbnail.
There you go. That's exactly it. When you're typing on your phone, are you one finger, index finger, two thumbs, one thumb, voice to text only? What do you do?
I am two thumbs.
Two thumbs. Okay, yeah, so your thumbs replace your fingers on a keyboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever turn the phone sideways and use the expanded keyboard that's available in landscape layout?
No, I don't feel like that's cool. I've got to be moving, and that looks too concentrated.
I didn't even know that that was an available option. I have not tried it much yet, but I'm eager to find out. Last one, when you're driving a car, what do you prefer? Stick, automatic, automatic with paddle shifters? What do you prefer?
Can you even find a stick shift car anymore? But I will say, people say I'm a young mayor. My first two cars were stick shift, and now it's a sense of pride that now, no matter where I am in the world, I can safely get us moving around in a car. You go to South America, you don't get an automatic option sometimes. So, I was a stick shift driver all from 16 to 21, basically. So I guess I'm a dying breed.
Same for me, much longer. And the advantage of that is if you actually drive a stick, nobody under 30 is going to steal it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always good to talk to you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. The thing that gave rise to that question that we asked recently on a frivolous discussion at 8:40 every day was my son just bought a Miata, an old Miata, 1992 Miata, and he knew he wanted to buy this car, but since we don't own any manual transmissions, he had never learned to drive one. So he literally went to buy the manual transmission without knowing how to drive one. In fact, part of his sort of warm-up was to have the guy drive him in the car, but luckily, the Miata is so easy to learn that you have to almost be, you basically, to kill the Miata in a manual transmission, you basically have to, let go of the clutch, get out of the car, run around, and then it might 50% of the time die on you. Like, it's so easy to drive. Anyway, so that things that make me think about. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of cars, if you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good quality used vehicles. And, you know, one of the things you can think about them is that not just as the place that has good cars, you know, cars that are a year or two or three old with, you know, good mileage, 10 to maybe 30 or 40,000 miles. It's kind of their sweet spot. Cars are going to warranty until it's 10 years or 100,000 miles, and they'll take care of you. They'll stand by. They want you to have confidence, basically, that you're getting good cars that you can count on, which is why I recommend them, why Dave Ramsey recommends them. But also, they're kind of the experts on cars. You know, they've been around a long time, and there's some folks there that have been there a long time. And instead of going to them with the pre-existing idea of what you want to buy and hoping the test drive doesn't talk you out of it, just, I know it's kind of a normal thing, maybe go to them with the idea, like, I'm going to ask, what do you recommend? What do people seem to like? What holds its value well? What kind of car do you know about, you know, maintenance? Is this car good, bad? You know, that brand used to be great. Is it still? Like, those kind of questions. And then ask them and let the experts tell you what they think. Like, treat them as allies, as, you know, consultants, instead of as, like, the adversary you're trying to pry a car out of their hands or whatever. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
You may think that when you file an insurance claim, the insurance company will do what they're supposed to do and pay out the claim. But insurance companies don't provide manuals to get fair insurance claim settlements. That's where Claimology steps in, giving you a voice when you've suffered property damage or business loss. Don't get lost when filing a claim. Contact Claimology, 888-774-7557 or Claimology.com. Claimology, now, the art and science of application of fair insurance claim settlements.
Hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Bring the family for Cinemas in the Sand, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, Friday night at the Gulfside Pavilion. The Fred Levin Fest is Sunday from 11 till 3, downtown at Palafox and Government. The free event features food, games, music, and most importantly, 60-plus nonprofit organizations will be distributing food and info for families in need. See fredlevinfest.org. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mr. Gold doesn't give more time or second chances.
How the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Change
it. So that's from one of my personal favorite movies. It's called Revolver with Jason Statham. But the universe doesn't agree with me about the quality of this movie. It's considered like a 3 or a 4, I think, on IMDb. And I loved that movie. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning. President Trump has signed an executive order to make America's showers great again. Yesterday, he signed an order to roll back water pressure regulations enforced by former Presidents Biden and Obama that limit the flow from shower heads to a maximum of 2.5 gallons per minute. Delta is implementing some changes in their checked bag policies. The Atlanta-based airline announced this week that bags will now have to be dropped off at least 45 minutes before a domestic flight.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Yeah, I think that that whole regulation of the shower heads is kind of a funny one to read because it falls in the category of things people get annoyed about through environmental restrictions, you know, like low flush toilets and that kind of thing. And I think the president has found yet another thing where he can say, I get your pain, and we're going to get rid of this nonsense.
Another American jailed in Russia set free. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
This is so important, and it shows that this country now, under President Trump, is going to be diligent and aggressive in getting Americans home.
Republican Senator Ashley Moody reacting on Fox a short time ago after Ksenia Karolina was released, now flying back to the U.S.
Karolina was arrested in January of 2024 in Yekaterinburg during a visit to see her family. She was jailed for donating.